श्रीमदंजनाशलाकक्षुरुन्मीलिताेनाकस्मेश्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोपिष्टा स्थापितं तेन कुशले स्वायामृतकदामयं तदर्थि स्वापदर्शितम् मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणम्। We're looking at chapter 10. Is that right?
Yeah.
Techniques of hearing and remembering. Basically going through the 64 items as were previously mentioned, and this chapter deals with four items. Item number 43 to 46. Pretty simple. Really? Pretty straightforward. First item deals with Shravanam. Shravanam. In fact, it's said that devotional service begins with Shravanam. Although sometimes it's said that devotional service begins with the tongue. Jivado. Right?
But in the nine process, is it faith at the beginning?
What? Faith?
In the nine process of devotion to the
Shravanam.
Shraddha is the starting point.
Shraddha, that's a different set of, okay, of items.
That's bhakti, the nine stages of bhakti.
Yes, that's the development of faith. Yeah. So we can reconcile that devotional service begins with the tongue, because if hearing is the most important item or the beginning, then if we're going to be listening to somebody or something, somebody has to be talking, and talking means a tongue is speaking, right? But hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And really the potency of hearing. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkana rasayana katha. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the fifth canto, I think.
Third canto, couple of verses.
Satam prasangam.
Is it?
Fifth chapter. Satam prasangam, sata, sat means eternal, but it also can refer to the devotees, because the devotees are interested in the eternal.
Which chapter?
Satam prasangam. Right, canto 3. Chapter 25, text 25. Satam prasangam mamasvirya samvido bhavanti hritkana rasayana katha. Krishna resides where the devotees are chanting his glories. And if one associates with Krishna by hearing, then great results or great wonderful things can happen, as is mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One's heart becomes purified. Prabhupada gives the example of someone who is in material consciousness, in a material state of mind, is just like a person who's been bitten by a snake. A person, when they've been bitten by a snake, goes into a comatose state. And there are people who can, by the chanting of certain mantras, release a person from that comatose condition. Right? Very powerful mantra chanters. Right? So similarly also, a person hearing the Maha Mantra can be awakened from the state of nescience in material consciousness by the hearing of the chanting of the Maha Mantra. That's a very nice example, actually. Really powerful example. So there are different types of shravanam. Hearing the name, that's what's mentioned first. Hearing the name, charita shravana, hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Gunadi shravana, hearing the glorification and qualities, especially hearing glorification and the qualities, or glorification of the qualities of Krishna. So different types of hearing are described. And the potency. Prabhupada also mentions the discussions of topics, especially coming from the pure devotees, are like the flow of nectar that is experienced on the moon. The flow of the rivers of nectar that are experienced on the moon. Of course, when we look at the moon, I have a little difficulty with that because the moon doesn't appear to have any water on it.
You've not seen the full surface of the moon.
No, we haven't.
No.
No. We haven't, that's true. Amrita, Somaras, right? Somaras. There's so many descriptions in the Vedic literature of the lives of the inhabitants of the moon. Huh? And that Somaras is desired greatly by the demigods, because it gives one strength and vigor and long life. So the sound of the devotees, or the hearing from the devotees, the pure devotees, as Prabhupada said, not from a professional reciter. Because a professional reciter is just doing it as a job to make some money. Whereas a pure devotee is discussing the topics of Krishna with a relish for for pure devotional service, basically. So, this is an interesting point. How do we resolve this description of the demigods drinking the somaras on the heavenly planets, and our vision of the moon is just a... When they went to the moon, all they came back with was some rocks. They could have picked the rocks up from out in the desert.
They are not gone.
Oh, well, they didn't. That's one resolution of that dilemma is that they didn't actually go to the moon.
Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, says if somebody lands in the earth on the Sahara Desert, they say the earth is a desert.
Yeah.
It's like that landing in one part of the place and then concluding the whole earth is like that would be a false thing.
Okay, so there's another thing. They didn't go to the place where the rivers were flowing.
They went to Rahu.
Or they didn't actually go to the moon.
Then that's what Prabhupada says.
You know, it's quite, I always get a bit of a laugh out of statements like, the terrain on Mars looks exactly like the outback of Australia. So anyway, when one concentrates on the topics discussed about Krishna, then everything material can reside and, you know, can reside, not reside, subside, yes, disappear, practically speaking. Recedes, is the word, recedes into the background. So the devotees get great pleasure out of hearing, especially the Bhagavatam, hearing the sweetness of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever, actually, any topics about Krishna are actually very relishable for the devotees. So much so, they become so absorbed. Maharaj Parikshit is an example of how he was so absorbed in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam that he didn't need any sleep, he didn't feel hunger, he didn't have any thirst. It's the potency of hearing from a pure devotee and inquiring also. Submissively inquiring so that one can understand the topics. So hearing is a very shravanam, it's very important. Shravanade suddha chitte karaye udoy. In order for our original Krishna consciousness to be awakened, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to begin the process of bhakti, shravanade, which begins with hearing. Suddha chitte. One's consciousness becomes suddha or pure by hearing topics about Krishna. And this is how devotee transcends material existence, just by hearing. It's so simple, right? But people can't do it.
Why is hearing important?
Why is it important?
Why is it more important than any other thing?
Ah, well, Prabhupada gives the example that, and who gave it in class yesterday or the today? Somebody gave the example that, yeah, Madhava Maharaj mentioned. You can be asleep and somebody's breaking into your house. Which sense will save you?
Hearing.
The sense of hearing. Huh? All the other senses go to sleep when you go to sleep. Just like the other night when there was that big accident out here, you know, I heard the ambulance and the sirens coming. And then I thought, hang on a second, they're coming here and they're stopping.
Uh-oh.
What does that mean?
I remember reading somewhere in the medical journal also it is said that of all the senses, the sense of hearing is closest to the brain.
Closest to the brain. Is it?
No. Of all the senses.
Eyes are pretty close.
Of all the senses, the sense of hearing is closest to the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of the reasons why hearing is very important, another example of Prabhupada gives is, you know, your eyes, you know, we like to say, you know, seeing is believing. But turn out the lights and you can't see anything. But hearing, you can be transported to a completely different realm of understanding just by hearing. When radio was first invented, and the Australians and the English were playing cricket, then the state of play would be Morse coded to Australia, right? And then the commentators would sit in the studio and they would have sounds, they'd have a block of wood and a thing, you know, which they bounce against the piece of wood to make it sound like the ball was, and then the commentators would actually make out like they were sitting in Lords or at the Oval, describing what was going on before them, but actually they were getting it from Morse code. But the people in Australia were listening to the cricket, because they're listening to the cricket and they're thinking, yes, now we're in England, right? is the power of hearing. And so you can see that the devotees, when they hear the topics about Krishna, they're transported into the spiritual world, practically speaking. So the material world just doesn't exist anymore. So one can become completely absorbed through the sense of hearing. And of course, Prabhupada says that's the most effective means of gaining information, because we're getting information that features and facilities that cannot be experienced in the material world. Descriptions of the spiritual world are not experienced here in the material world by our senses. But with that sense, we can actually gain entrance into the spiritual world. We can have a description of the spiritual world, of its qualities, characteristics, the pastimes and activities, all of these things can be described, and we can get entrance into the spiritual world just through the hearing process. That's why it's most important.
And probably in the Vedic times there was no way of, no written paper or anything by which knowledge can be transmitted. There was no way of capturing knowledge in paper.
No, it was, and hence people were Shrutita. That was the method of transmission of information. It was by hearing.
Only by hearing.
Yeah. Okay, so hearing, shravanam, and there are three types of hearing. Nam, shravana, charita, shravana. Hear about the pastimes, to hear about the name, to hear about the pastimes, gunadi, shravana, to hear about the qualities. Now, the next item is a very interesting one. It's a verse that Prabhupada, well, there's a verse quoted here that Prabhupada would quite often, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano. And it's about expecting the Lord's mercy. We're in the material world. So, just because we become devotees, that doesn't mean that automatically our suffering will stop. Right? Very often people worship God. They go to the temple and they pray, "Oh Lord, please take away my suffering." Basically. Huh? Distress. And we heard earlier that ato atati, you know, this is Kanishtha Adhikari will approach the Lord sometimes with a desire to be relieved from distress. As one of the devotees mentioned to a Chintarupa today, he said, "I came back to Krishna this time, not because I was suffering distress, but because I like to render service to Krishna." That's making advancement. But sometimes devotees do come at times of great distress in their lives. They come to Krishna. But we shouldn't rely upon Krishna to relieve us from distress. Or we shouldn't expect that. Although that may be a result, right? Pure devotional service means kleshagni shubhadha, removal of distress. But sometimes, for a devotee, we find ourselves in a distressful situation. Now, why is that? Why do we find ourselves in distressing situations?
Because that's the result of our past deeds.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. But what else? What other?
It brings us close to the Krishna.
Remember him.
Sorry?
Remember Krishna all the time.
Yeah, maybe. But why is there distress in the world?
It's the material world.
Material world, yes. Dukkha dosha anudarshanam. the acharyas tell us that the material world is not a place of enjoyment. Birth, right? Birth is so much fun, none of us can remember it. Right? It's such a shocking experience. We've forgotten it completely. Huh? And yet it mentions in the Bhagavatam how the living entity comes to consciousness, full consciousness in the womb of the mother. We're fully conscious in the womb of our mother. But the none of us remembers childbirth. Nobody. Such a shocking experience. Disease, right? You grow up, and what you experience throughout childhood: earaches, headaches, mumps, measles, chicken pox, flu, typhoid. Typhoid. In India, you get a far more exotic variety of disease. In Australia,
more than cases.
Huh? Right? Yeah. So many things. It's just trouble. Then, you know, you can look forward to old age. None of us are in old age at the moment, really. Something to look forward to. And then eventually the final, you know, piece of excitement, death. Huh? So, material world is a place of suffering. So, if there's some difficulty, what does a devotee? How does a devotee see it? I see. I always it strikes me. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, he gives the first piece of information: you're not this body, you're eternal. You're a spirit soul, basically, and you're eternal. And then he says, the material world is temporary. And so one has to tolerate it. It's right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. If the Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs of spiritual life, then this bit of information is right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Tatikshava. Tatikshava. What is it?
14.
Mantras pasras tukuntaya sitosna sukha dukkataha agama payanoti. Nityas tongues, tikchas for Bharata. You have to tolerate. Right? So that verse is all about. One basically has to tolerate the difficulties of material existence. And then is making that statement that it's coming up. It's in this chapter. It's in this chapter that we're studying at the moment in the Bhagavatam, text number 8. One who offers obeisances to you, in the meantime, tolerating all of the difficulties of material existence, one who offers his obeisances to you with his body, with his mind and with his words, right? One who offers obeisances fully to Krishna. Then it mentions, just as the son can hope to inherit the property of the father, so similarly a devotee can gain entrance into the spiritual realm. Yeah. So, expecting Krishna's mercy. Sorry?
Does that mean that if a bad thing happens to you, that's Krishna's mercy too? So then you have to tolerate that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If bad things happen, then you have to tolerate. And if good things happen, you have to tolerate them too. Mm. Ultimately, a devotee understands that my simple reactions have been burned off, whether it's good or bad karma. It's all been burned off. And I won't have to suffer that reaction again. Prabhupada gives the example of the fan being plugged into the wall. you unplug the fan, the electrical current is not being supplied, so consequently the fan doesn't stop spinning straight away, but gradually it'll slow down. And so that the reactions that a devotee is getting, if he's following the regulated principles and he's practicing devotional service in the proper fashion, then he'll gradually burn off the reactions. Gradually be purified. I remember I was out on Harinam book distribution, actually. On Harinam I was handing out magazines, and a lady came up to me and she said, "Look at your face, you've got pimples. So you're not spiritual." What that's got to do with spiritual life, I don't know. But anyway, you know, there's a complete misconception of what spiritual life is all about. There may be reactions. A devotee may be getting some reactions from his past misdeeds, and they appear to be material. But actually, they're not being orchestrated by the material energy. Ultimately, they're being orchestrated by Krishna for the purification. So Krishna's behind the scenes working, even though it may not be obvious. Even an activity of a devotee appears the same as a materialistic person. But because it's being done for Krishna, it is not a material action, and it is not even a material reaction as such. So how do we deal with difficulty?
Like Kunti.
Give more suffering?
Huh?
Like Kunti. Like give more suffering.
Give me more suffering. That's not how I do it. I just put my head down and, well, Krishna, whatever's going to come. What do you do? What do you do when you're in a difficult situation?
Try to do a little more reading, or as chanting.
How does your mental Krishna help with it?
How does that help?
We just accept whatever happens, good or bad, as Krishna's mercy, and keep doing our duties and devotional service towards Krishna. Giving Krishna in the center.
Prabhupada gives the example, you know, the materialists, they think that it's just some arrangement by somebody else, and all they have to do is just rearrange everything and get it back in the right order. And so they work hard to do that. Huh? Alright, fix this. Stupid idiot, who did that? Fix this. But it's interesting, now, Prabhupada gives the example of Indrajuna Maharaj. He was cursed to take birth as an elephant. But he accepted that ultimately is Krishna's arrangement. Maharaj Parikshit also, he was cursed by the son of Samika Rishi, Sringi, to die by the bite of the Takshaka bird, right? Now he could have counteracted that, but a devotee knows ultimately Krishna's behind this, Krishna's working. What do you do, Deepak, when you have a difficulty? How do you cope with that?
You surrender.
Surrender?
Pray to the Lord. It's your decision what you want to do.
To remove the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna, can you just remove this problem for me? That's the difference between a pure devotee and a one who's seeking relief from distress. Right? We pray to Krishna, Krishna, take this suffering away from me. But actually, a pure devotee will say, whatever, let it come. Whatever you desire. And that was Maharaj Pariksit's prayer, right? Let the whatever magic, you said whatever magic the snake bird has got? Whatever, no, was it whatever magic the Brahmana has created, I can't remember exactly what the... Let it happen. Let it come. Here's another example of somebody who had that mood of surrender.
Narada Muni
in relationship to?
When he was very young, his mother died and he was a snake bite and he had this accident.
Yeah.
This choice.
Yeah.
Haridas Thakur.
Haridas Thakur, yeah. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces. And you know what he said? He said, the reason why I was beaten was because I listened to the blasphemy of the Qazi's men. I deserve to be beaten. I deserve to be beaten because I was in a situation where I heard the blasphemy of the Lord and his devotees. So therefore I deserve to be beaten. Do you see how humble he was? Prahlad Maharaj? Yeah. I was thinking about Vritrasura.
It's cursed to be a demon.
Yeah. There's Maharaj Chitraketu, actually. Maharaj Chitraketu. He was cursed by Parvati to take care of his demon. He didn't have to, and in fact, he was, in one sense, cursed unnecessarily. Because he was having a joke with his friend. It's just that you have to be careful about joking with your friends when their wife is present. Unless she gets upset and wants to defend the honour of her husband. When it's not necessary. So I think that's an important point. A devotee, a pure devotee, doesn't mind. Jamani, 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 Shwari, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ahojtiki, Twari. I don't mind taking birth after birth, which means what? Easy ride? No, it means more distress. But if it means I can render devotional service. And it's interesting, I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday, he was saying that, right in the beginning, when there's a description of pure devotional service, a pure devotee doesn't look for liberation. They're not interested in liberation. And you know, there are those verses, there's those quotations. If liberation means that I don't get a chance to glorify you, then I'm not interested in it. Right? So not at all interested in freedom from distress or freedom from difficulty or elevated to a high position on the heavenly planets or even beyond, because, you know, the point is that not only is a devotee not interested in elevation to the heavenly planets, but he's not even interested in elevation to Vaikuntha. Because we know that heavenly planets is temporary anyway. But he's not even interested in going to Vaikuntha. But all he's interested in is just the rendering of service. Interesting. Okay. Now, so in sadhana bhakti, we get an opportunity to transform our suffering into something positive. Right? And that means we can remove the reactions and at the same time remember Krishna. And then by remembering Krishna in that submissive and tolerant mood, one can actually gain, that's a symptom of eligibility. So then the next two items are remembering. So there's hearing. Then there's taking, expecting the Lord's mercy, right? Then remembering. remembering and meditating on. So the first item, remembering, means remembering Krishna in a general way. I am Krishna's servant. Right? Not specific. And then meditating means much more deeper remembrance, if you like. And as explained by Rupa Goswami, Rupa Dhyanam. Dhyana means to meditate. Rupa, on the form. Guna Dhyanam, meditating on Krishna's qualities. Krida Dhyanam, thinking about one's service. Or thinking about Krishna's activities. Sorry, Seva Dhyanam is next, sorry. Krida Dhyanam, thinking about Krishna's activities. Seva Dhyanam, meditating on devotional service to Krishna. And there's a famous example of the Brahmana who lived in South India. Right? And his meditation was so deep that he burned his finger while he was cooking the sweet rice. Amazing. Right? Amazing story. So pretty straightforward. Not, these things are not too difficult. Rupa Dhyanam, Guna Dhyanam, Krida Dhyanam, Seva Dhyanam. And they all basically have their basis. They have their basis in hearing. Right? We have to hear about the qualities of the Lord. We have to hear about the activities of the Lord. We have to hear about the form of the Lord. We hear about these things, and then we have an opportunity to meditate on them. Shravanam, Kirtanam, then Smaranam, remembering. So, does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Tim.
Why would a pure devotee not want to go straight back to Vaikuntha and serve Krishna there? Because they're so. A pure devotee says, you know, I don't mind if I have to stay around here in the material world as long as I'm doing the service. It seems a little bit. It doesn't sort of make sense to me. Like, I mean, naturally, you'd want to just go back to Vaikuntha and serve Krishna. You wouldn't want to hang around in this material world. How does that sort of
work through? What reason would we not want to stay in the material world?
Well, that's the first understanding. We don't want to hang out in the material world. We just want to go back to the spiritual world.
Because it's inferior.
Well, it's a suffering.
It's inferior, and also there's no relationship with Krishna.
So
pretty much.
Yeah, why did the pure devotees say that they don't mind if they come back in other births, keep staying here? Because
well, if we go back to the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to the beginning of the next devotion, then devotional service is so powerful, pure devotional service is so powerful and so attractive, that the devotee becomes so absorbed in the mellow or the relationship, right? The interaction between himself or herself and Krishna, or himself and herself and the devotees, that the material world, practically speaking, ceases to exist. Right? So he doesn't care. It becomes immaterial. The service to Krishna is the same performed in the material world as it is performed in the spiritual world. It's the same activity, the same relationship. In other words, it's eternal, right? So wherever it's performed, wherever devotional service is performed, it doesn't matter for the devotee. And also, as Prabhupada points out, especially for us, you know, for if we want to understand from the point of view of, say, an ISKCON member, if we are engaged in devotional service and we are experiencing and relishing our relationship with Krishna, and we know that Krishna says there is no one more dear to me than he who spreads this message of the Bhagavad Gita to the devotees, then if we know that's what pleases Krishna, and we know that devotional service is fully absorbing and satisfying for us, then why not stay and serve Krishna and satisfy Krishna in that fashion. Right? Of course, we do teach people don't stay in the material world. You know, that's a very elevated platform. So, you know, on the one hand, we encourage everybody to get out of the material world. Don't stick around.
I think these Aussie Buddhists many years ago, and they said, it's going to take thousands of lifetimes before we become bodhisattvas, you know, enlightened beings.
Yes.
So just don't bother now in this lifetime. Let's get stoned and drunk because it's going to take that many lifetimes. And this is an excuse, you know, just to want to not have take on spiritual life.
Yep.
They just say, oh, great.
I don't know about bodhisattva, it sounds like hippie philosophy to me.
Well, it's been, you know, this.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't catch me, and I left immediately.
Yeah.
I hang out with the devotees.
Well, I think that's you know, there's a good reason. The devotees become absorbed in devotional service so much that they don't mind if there may be some difficulties.
It's a very advanced state, though, surely, to be like that.
It is.
You mean only Hari Das Thakur is like that, Lord Chaitanya,
well,
Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada is like that.
Yes, yeah.
And maybe some sannyasins like that. Perhaps.
Well, but also devotees, regular rank and file devotees.
Housewives
especially have to put up with a lot, right?
Yeah.
Should enjoy your freedom while you've got it. Krishna Maharaj is losing hers quickly. You know, it's really funny, you know. The young girls think, oh, if only I could get married and everything will be great. Right? After a few years, you know, they say, you cheated me. If we want to meditate on staying in the material world and being tolerant and steadfast, we can meditate on Prabhupada and his engagement in devotional service in Delhi, preaching, trying to sell back the Godhead magazines, preparing his manuscripts for the Bhagavatam, typing it out himself, taking the proofs to the printer, then getting the printer to make them up, and then, you know, it was not having enough money to print the books, then going out and selling more back to Godhead magazines, and, you know, getting the printer to print more pages, and there'd be pages, you know, very painstaking process of making a book in those days in India. Not knowing where he was going to get the money from, but still getting a printer to print more. And then opening up the League of Devotees in Jhansi, and then losing a whole lot. Going to Vrindavan and continuing working on his books, and you know, when you think about it, Prabhupada is a great example of this principle of steadfastness and tolerance and determination, sticking at his duty and just continuing with no result. How many of us could work for 10 or 15 or even 20 years without any result or very little result to speak of? You would go home, wouldn't you? How long did you go for without a job, Uttarabhavandhu?
Year and a half.
What were you thinking towards the 14th or the 16th month?
Just hoping.
Hoping. Did you ever think about going back to where you came from?
No.
Steadfast, huh? But it's hard, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. everybody else here has been relatively well off, I think, in terms of their material pursuits. You ever been out of a job, Chaitan? Never, haven't ever experienced that particular pleasure yet, huh?
Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, I hope you don't have to. It's not. It's actually very. That's one. It's a big test, actually. No money, and you just have to live on the dole. Is that what you're getting a benefit?
Yes.
It's not easy living on a benefit, is it? You're completely restricted. No extra money to spend on anything. You just got it locked in. No room to move. So see how, you know, quite a few years, but Prabhupada just kept on preaching and it's interesting, you know, he took the opportunity when it came to leave India. And even then, when he left India, he came to America. But what were his prospects there? Didn't have a place to stay, didn't have a visa. Didn't have any money. Yeah, he came to India with 40 rupees, America with 40 rupees. Could you imagine coming to Australia with a 1 month visa and 40 rupees? Right? Even if, let's assume that 40 rupees was worth 10 times as much now as it was then, that's a reasonable, you know, increase, increment, if you like. That means you come to Australia with a month-long visa and 400 rupees.
$11.
Yeah, $11. It would last, you know, well, a day. You'd be lucky if it lasted your first hour. Amazing. Really amazing. And Prabhupada didn't have temples to go to or, you know, people waiting for him. One family, but then he didn't, you know, after that, didn't know what he was going to do. Amazing, when you think about it, amazing. Dependence upon Krishna. There's really dependence upon Krishna.
Faith.
Yep, strong faith, strong determination, and despite setbacks, you keep, you know, Prabhupada had his typewriter stolen, he had the manuscript for his Bhagavad Gita stolen. He had to rewrite the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita that we're reading wasn't the first, it wasn't the first, that was the second attempt at writing, of translating and purporting the Bhagavad Gita. That's amazing. You know, if you had your whole manuscript pitched for hours and hours, what would you do? You'd be devastated. And in fact, Prabhupada mentions, Prabhupada mentions how he would go to the steamship company's office and have a look at the timetables to see when the boat was going to be leaving to go back to India.
How old
was that? 69, 70, 70. 16. He turned 70 on the boat, didn't he? Plus, yeah, adding a couple of heart attacks as well, just for good measure. As Tatenu Kampan Sushamik Samana, so, you know, whatever little trials and tribulations we experience, and we think are great, you know, tests, we can meditate on the truly great devotees and okay, right. Any comments or questions?
We use mainly quite a lot of reading when it comes to hearing and reading. So how do you improve our reading techniques in order to hear and remember?
How do we improve our reading and hearing techniques?
Mainly it's reading. We read a lot in the Shastra.
Yes.
So we have Bhagavatam, chapter 2. We have so much to read.
Yes.
So how do you improve our reading technique so we can hear basically and store
the information?
Yeah.
How do we improve? Okay. Any suggestions? How do we improve our remembering? How do you improve your remembering at school? How do you mind? Practice, good. That's my first thought. Practice. Just keep doing it. You know, sometimes when I was probably about your age and reading Prabhupada's books, I used to think, I'm reading this, but it's useless. Nothing goes in. I can't remember anything that I read yesterday. Right? And I've had devotees come to me on more than one occasion and say, I read Prabhupada's books, but I can't remember anything that I've read. It's useless. What's the point? Right? But one thing I discovered, and I'm discovering now also, because I'm reading a lot more now and I'm listening to a lot more classes than I might have done previously, or some months ago anyway. You may not remember exactly what you read yesterday, but you'd be surprised how much you actually retain if you do it regularly or practice, as Yogamaya is suggesting. If you practice and you're doing it consistently, same time every day, same amount of time, or even not a huge amount, you know, you just need to be absorbing 30, 35 minutes of information. Just do that much. Don't try and do a huge quantity, but every day do a regular amount. Then you gradually, and I've noticed in I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita 1 year or it must have been a year, it didn't take me that long, but I used to do it in the time between Bhagavatam class and breakfast, read for 10 or 15 minutes a day, and what I noticed was if I was talking to people and discussing Krishna consciousness, then things that I had read that I wasn't conscious of would suddenly become prominent in my mind. So, you know, we might think that it's all, you know, sort of going nowhere or going in and then going out again. In one ear and out the other, they say, right? But it doesn't. If we regularly, what are some of the other ways we can
By preaching also you remember.
Yes.
What you read to go and talk
yes.
to another person.
They call Stephen Covey calls it third person learning. In which if you read something or if you learn something, then to reinforce it within yourself, you then go and find somebody else and you tell it to them. Right? Shravanam Kirtanam. We heard it, we repeat it. And then what? We remember it. Right? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So we read and then we repeat. So that's very effective. What else have we got? Regular practice, repeating it to others. What else might there be?
Write it down.
Write it down? Yes, okay. Write it down. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. Slokas. If you want to learn slokas, keep repeating them so you remember them. But I think the practice, regular practice, and sharing it with others. I couldn't think of any two better techniques, if you like.
Is the meditation mentioned in this chapter different from the meditation we hear in terms of the normal meditation techniques?
What kind of meditation techniques?
I'm saying, you know about, you concentrate on something, focus on a point or something like that. The normal meditation, which is gently common man understand the text?
I guess there are similarities. Yeah, why not?
You can read it in Lord Krishna's Lotus Feet.
Yeah.
Is meditation a technique?
A technique? It has its techniques, I suppose. If you read in the Nectar of Instruction, we'll come to that when we do that. It describes how meditation can be at a level of absorption which can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and more absorbing. Right? Wherein one, and here it's interesting, we were discussing it previously, when we have an understanding of our Swarupa, our original spiritual position, and the desire for rendering service in that position becomes very strong, then there's a deep meditation on our spiritual identity. Right? At the moment, what's our meditation on our spiritual identity?
Almost nil.
Almost nil. Okay. What's yours?
Chanting Hare Krishna.
Chanting Hare Krishna. In what mood?
Servant of Krishna.
Servant. Yes, das.
Dasya.
So the basis of our devotional service starts off with dasya, service. And then we're trying to develop it then from there into a deeper understanding of what our actual service is in the spiritual realm. On a spiritual platform. At the moment, it's devotional service in practice with a utilization of the external senses and the mind. But as the senses and the mind become purified, then the service is transferred from the external to the internal. Right? And gradually gets deeper and deeper and deeper. At the moment, it's all pretty much, well, if we're somewhat materially contaminated, then our senses are all on the external, right? I like the look of this motor car, I like the look of this girl, I like the look of that boy, I like this job, it's all service on the external platform. But as we become purified and we get a taste for devotional service, then we become absorbed in the service itself and the material disappears. It recedes. But then, as we become more and more purified, then the consciousness goes deeper and deeper into our original spiritual identity, not just this body. Huh? So we want to go on the spiritual platform.
But then it talks about the meditation starting with name. And
then that's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Yeah. Then it goes into Rupa, so then you can meditate on the form of the Rupa. Yes. And then there's your service as a meditation. Yeah. And then there's the Leela meditation as well. Yeah, there's different levels of meditation. Sri Radhika Madhava Yora Para Madhuri Leela Guna Rupa Nam Nam. So it begins with the name, then the form, then the qualities, and then eventually the pastimes. We can meditate on the pastimes of Krishna. But it begins by being purified through the chanting of the name.
I was wondering if meditation is a technique, can we have some these programs to teach us that?
Yes, we do. It's called chant your japa in the morning. And do your service. We have it. Yeah, people want the techniques of meditation. We say, okay, here's the roster, and this is what you have to do. This is your meditation. Hmm? What? It's going to be something else. But see, this is the simplicity of bhakti. You know, it's a very simple process, but very powerful. And just like we were discussing last week, the anxiety that we experience in rendering the service is the seed of that longing for our constitutional position as a servant of Krishna, internal servant, internal realization. So it's got to come from somewhere. So it in one sense, it appears apparently to come from the externals. Chanting, it appears to be external, hearing from somebody with the ears, you know, it appears to be coming from external, from outside. But actually, those activities are from the pure spiritual stratum. They're not from the material realm at all. This, our observation of them is that they're material, but actually they're purely spiritual. And we see that because, just like we're discussing here, if we're hearing regularly, the consciousness becomes very purified. So it's not a material thing, it's a purely spiritual thing, even though it appears to be coming from the external platform. Okay, now I'm going to give you some exercises. These aren't for today, but these are for the next 2 weeks. And I'll put them, you have to get them off the web. I'll put them up tonight. In fact, I can put them up in a minute if I put all of you, if I give you an early minute or two. But we're going to get you to, well, just we can think about actually, let's just think about, we've been engaging in some hearing and chanting, but mainly hearing. A lot of hearing about the, you know, the process of devotional service. So, and we've been studying, right, to remember what you're saying. We're hearing to remember. We're studying to remember. So what's our appreciation of the process that we've been following over the last few months? What kind of appreciation do we have for studying the Prabhupada's books regularly in the Association of the Devotees? What kind of an effect does it have on us? Is it as good as studying by ourselves?
No.
Is studying regularly as good as, you know, just doing it occasionally?
Yes. Regularly is better.
Regularly is better.
And especially coming for a class is much better.
Yeah. So what's our appreciation then about studying Prabhupada's books regularly in the Association of the Devotees? So what we want you to do is to write what your appreciation is over the next, let's say we'll give you 2 or 3 weeks to do this. Well, judging by some people it will be 2 or 3 months, but anyway. Or never. Well, you don't get any marks for not doing it. This will be part of the written work that needs to go towards your final assignment, assessment, basically. So, it can be prose or poetry. Got any budding poets here?
I have
poets. Okay, well then you should.
Musician.
Yeah? Okay. Whatever. You'd be surprised. So, you could consider how difficult it is to study, right? How hard it is, even though we made a commitment to study with the devotees and to do our homework and to read all the sections of the books, you know, how easy is it? Is it easy?
You have to make an effort.
Right? We have to make an effort. And if we do make an effort, then what's the results of that? Uh, And, you know, are we developing a taste? I get, you know, the important thing is that we should be developing some attraction for Krishna or for devotional service, which means attraction to Krishna. We should be developing that in our devotional lives. Or are we finding that we're more distracted by material things, which then become obstacles, obstacles in the path of devotional service? So we can explore this. I'll write this up, you know. This is and then what we could do later on, say in 4 or 5 weeks' time, 6 weeks' time maybe. 6 weeks' time will almost be finished, so we have to be careful. We've got another 11 classes or so to go. Got to get this in within the next 3 or 4 weeks. I would say we can have a session where the devotees can read their anonymously. You can hand it to one of your friends and get them to read it if you like, if you don't want to read it yourself. What do you think? There's a bit of a challenge for you.
How many pages?
Oh, not pages. Page and a half, 2 pages.
200 words.
Yeah. We could refer to 2 things. Study in association with the devotees, and regularly studying, and developing an affinity for that practice. Because really that's what this course is all about, is to try to instill within us an affinity for studying Prabhupada's books and regularly studying. And getting a taste for doing that. Huh? We need to have a taste. And then write our realizations in a short prose. Do you know what prose is? You know what prose is? Prose. Let's have a look. Let's see if we can find out what prose. Does anybody know what prose means? Form of an essay. I'll look it up. I'll tell you.
It's like 2 pages. Look how big the book here.
Four in the game. It's wonderful.
Prose is like poetry, but not necessarily rhyming. How many people here have actually written poetry in their life? Okay. Yeah. Right. It's not hard. It's not that hard. How many people have done a lot of writing in their life?
Little.
3. 3 people. Because one of the things about this course is that not only do we have to read and study, but we also have to write. We actually have to say what we're thinking. Now, that I noticed for a number of devotees is a bit of a challenge. Some not, but others quite a challenge. But we need to become expert or adept at least at being able to communicate, I guess. Dictionary.com. Look up dictionary.com. Prose. Imagine what you can do with the internet, isn't it? A wireless connection. Alert to all Australians. No. I don't know what it is, but I've seen it many times, but I've never clicked on it. It tells me that I could earn more money Yeah, sure. Okay, no, you're right. Ordinary speech or writing without metrical structure. Poetry has a metrical structure.
As metrical.
Commonplace expression or quality. This is, although this is a definition, this is not what we want. To speak or write in a dull, tiresome style. We want enlivened, invigorated prose. Ordinary writing as opposed, or sorry, ordinary writing as distinguished from verse. Matter of fact, commonplace or dull expression. We don't want that bit, but we want the first part. Okay. Now, the next thing is, that's the first one. Then here's another one. This is also related to this, and this may take a little while. Describe a time in your devotional life when you were faced with some obstacles or impediments to progress. You might even be facing them now.
What? What do you mean by progress?
Advancement in spiritual life.
Well, just keeping on going.
Keeping on going, yes. Something might have been stopping you, holding you back, some attachment. Describe a time in your devotional life when you were faced with some obstacles or impediments to progress. What did you learn from that experience? What are effective and constructive ways to deal with obstacles that arise? So I'll put that up. So there's two questions there. They require a bit of thought and a little bit of writing, but they shouldn't be more than a page, I wouldn't think. If you've written more than a page, then you've done too, you've overdone it. Remember that true eloquence is truth spoken concisely. Right? And you know, my I don't know whether this is, I've mentioned this before, but I like to write using a mind map. What do I do? Start off with your main point, and then just do a bit of brainstorming. Point number one. Point number two, just write any old thing up that you think. No particular order, no particular sequence, just get the things out, get ideas out, brainstorm. Brainstorm with yourself. It's very effective. Just sit there and daydream. And whatever comes into your mind, whack it down on a piece of paper. Very powerful. Don't worry about the structure, the order, just let whatever comes into your head, stick it out. You can piece it all together later on. But the hard part, well, one of the hard parts about writing is having anything to write at all. That's, you know, that can be a real problem. So if you, and you know, you can have sub point one, sub two, and you can build a whole bunch, you can have a huge diagram of stuff. For some projects, that's exactly what happens. You have big, big maps. But it doesn't really matter. The order and the sequence and content even doesn't really matter. But once you get it out on a piece of paper and into a graphical kind of an environment, then you can start to move things around later on and put it into place. I did a couple of mind maps today. just sitting there looking at the ceiling, and when I thought of something, I wrote it down. Because really what it is, it's thinking about what you're doing. Also, that's what this exercise is, thinking about what are we doing studying Prabhupada's books. Well, it's getting your thinking out on the paper so that you can then use that to order and sort out your own thoughts about things, but then use that to communicate to others, right? So it's important. A lot of work that we do, we spend time thinking about what we're doing. I remember reading a book about programming and project management, and the man writing the book was saying, you know, one of the gentlemen that he worked with used to criticize his workers if they weren't coding, getting the coding. And he said he worked with another boss who encouraged his programmers to actually sit and think about what they were doing. The other fellow would say, what are you doing? Just sitting here thinking. I don't pay you to think. Do your work. But actually, you know, a good deal of what we do is actually thinking. Sorting, sifting, and ordering, structuring things so that we know what we're doing. Otherwise, you could be coding like anything and then creating what they call spaghetti. Garbage in, garbage out. Although it's interesting, today I wrote down my thoughts on how to solve a particular problem and thought I had it all in order and then went and did it in a completely different way and solved the problem. So it's interesting. But it can help. It definitely help to crystallise things. So just learning to... Don't try to write an answer from the beginning and get to the end and have it perfect. You'll never do it unless you're an expert. Right? A total expert who's had many hours, probably years of practice. But if you do it like this, write things down, just keep writing, put it all over the place, doesn't matter, just get it out. And once you've got it out, order it, structure it. You find that's, I find that's very powerful. When I used to first start writing the editorial to the folk news, which is about 5 or 6 paragraphs at the most, sometimes it would take me a whole week to write it. Maybe it was just a blot, you know. What am I going to write? And then mostly it would be, I hate doing this. It's so hard. Just psyching myself up to do it. These days, I can just sit down and within about 15 minutes, just... I generally repeat what I wrote 2 years ago, so it's pretty easy. Things don't change that much around here. You know what I mean? Practice. So, practice and
every research old paper.
Huh?
Ability to search old papers. Ability to search old papers.
Ability to search old papers, yes, that's good. We will be looking for originality, though, not. Yeah. All right, I think we should finish here. Have a look on the web for the assignments. And there's also been the homework. Read the next chapter. Answer the questions.
Do we have an exam?
Do we have an exam? Too right. Yes. The exam will be on the Upanishad and the Nectar of Devotion. We cover both. October. November, isn't it? November. I go to India on November the 9th. It'll be around about
October.
End of October.
Even November.
Huh?
Even November.
Yeah.
Sometime.